of tonight's message. Brother David, you come as we sing.
As soon as I got done, I went down and stood at the door, and I don't know if it's allergies or what it is, but my right eye is watering, and my sinuses are just, they're going crazy right now. So yours going up now too? I'd like to blame it on Bill, because he was out here mowing the grass the other day.
It's all his fault.
Bless his heart. He got out there, and he was mowing the grass in the front of the church, and I really appreciate his faithfulness. Nobody knew he was going to do it, but he just wanted to get rid of the wild onions. But now it's in the air, and it's attacking me. But that's all right. Thank God for the night. Thank God for the church. Thank God for His scripture. Amen?
Amen.
And oddly enough, tonight we're going to talk about suffering. So, Revelation 2, verses 8 through 11. Let's read this responsively. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive.
I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death."
Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, we thank you for Jesus. And Lord, as we come to this message tonight, open our hearts and minds to it. Help us to understand it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
We're continuing in the revelation of Jesus Christ. If nothing else, I hope I teach you that the name of the book is Revelation. It all points toward Christ. And as it brings out, as we've been through it last week, we saw that Jesus loves his church. He spoke to Ephesus. He knows what the church is doing. He knows the motivation. He looked at the church of Ephesus and he said, "I see your works, I see what you're doing, but you have lost your first love." He noticed that the church was getting faint in their love. Well, he corrected them and he told them to overcome, to come back to their first love and to do it because they love the Lord. Tonight we look at a church called Smyrna. And Smyrna is a suffering church. If you look at the name Smyrna, it's spelled S-M-Y-R. M-Y-R. Myrrh is something that was used in the ancient world in embalming. They took myrrh and they would take it and mix it with aloe. And they would mix it with this dried resin called myrrh. And they would take it and they embalmed the bodies of those they prepared for burial. The Bible tells us in John 19, verse 39 and 40, that Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100 pounds, and they took that myrrh and put it on the body of Jesus. They bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Myrrh is associated with suffering and death, and the church at Smyrna was a church that suffered for the Lord. This church, though he just mentions the church in just four very brief verses, Jesus has nothing negative to say about this church. I want you to notice as Jesus speaks to this suffering church, he says, first of all, in verse number 8, "These things saith the first and the last." He begins to introduce himself. He says, "I am God." We found out that the name first and last is a reference to God himself. Isaiah 44:6 and Isaiah 48:12, God introduces himself as the first and as the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus says, "I am the first and the last. He is the one of whom God said, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom.'" Jesus Christ is God. He's God in the flesh. He's God who came to us. He's God who died for us, though. I want you to notice, though he is God, he suffers also. He tells us in verse number 8, "These things saith the first and the last," and look what he says, "which was dead." Jesus suffered as no man ever suffered. He paid the penalty for our sins. But as he went to that cross, he went beaten and bruised. He was not a perpetual victim, but he was a victor because he was dead and he rose again. And praise God, he defeated death. But Jesus understands suffering. You know, when we hurt ourselves, we go, "Ow." Jesus had more right to say "ow" than anybody else. Right. Beaten with a scourge, mocked, his friends betrayed him, turned on by everyone that he loved, he was left on that cross by himself. But Jesus went to the very end, trusting God, looking up, and the writer of Hebrews tells us this: he was not ashamed to do it because he did it for us. Jesus tells the church at Smyrna, he says, "I suffered, but I conquered the suffering." And he tells this church at Smyrna, he says, "I'm with you." He says in verse number 9, "I know thy works." That word "know" there means he sees it and he knows what they're doing. You know what? That Jesus knows exactly what you're doing.
Amen.
He sees what you're doing. Jesus knows what you're thinking. I've said that before. I don't want to know what you're thinking. Some of you I wish was born without mouths. Amen. Because I just don't want to know. Sometimes it comes out and it shocks me. But Jesus knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows your heart. And he watched this church at Smyrna. And he said, "I know your works." And I want you to notice, he said, "I know your works. And I know your tribulation. And I know your poverty." The church that works for Jesus will suffer for Jesus. The Christian that works for Jesus will suffer for Jesus. Jesus said, if you would be coming after me, he said, you are to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow me. A cross is not a happy-tappy experience. It's a terrible thing. It's a place of blood and suffering. Jesus said, if you love me, you're to follow me in suffering. You know, the church that does nothing will never suffer. It never does. There's a lot of churches that do absolutely nothing for God, and they do not suffer. The church that compromises with the darkness will not suffer. If you make yourself one with the evil all around you, the devil is not threatened by you. But when you stand up for Jesus, I tell you this, the devil notices that, and there is suffering. The church that exalts itself and not God, it will not suffer. But when you begin to exalt God, you suffer, because the world does not exalt God. The church that works for Jesus and is his hands and feet will be pierced, just like Jesus, his hands and feet were pierced. But praise God for the piercing of Christ.
Amen.
Praise God for the good that the church does for him. Thank God for that. Jesus said in John 15:18, he said, if the world hates you, and it will, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world.
Amen.
I've chosen you out of the world, and that's why the world hates you.
Amen.
Beloved, if you're of Jesus Christ and you're of his church, you're just passing through.
Amen.
This world is not our home. Like that song says, I'm just a passing through. I'm glad. I enjoy where I'm at. I enjoy this building right now. I enjoy the home that I have. I enjoy the pleasure of your friendship. But if Jesus would come for me tonight, praise God, I want to go. I'm so tired of this terrible life and the terrible sin that I see about it. I can't hardly wait until I get to heaven and this old temporary body falls to the side and my Jesus receives me forevermore. And if you're one of his, you look forward to that. Even if you're in the suffering, you look forward to that. Amen. Amen. Jesus is so good. He said, I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty. I told y'all 5 years ago, I said the world was going to get worse. Yep. Have I been true to what I said?
Amen.
I told y'all 5 years ago that they would legalize same-sex marriage in the United States. And they told us it would not affect us. I told you that. I told you it would affect us. That it was going to change us. Hasn't it come true? The world gets darker and darker. And you know why it got this dark? Because many of God's people have not stood up for Jesus.
Amen.
The greatest tragedy is when God's people compromise with the darkness. Because when you compromise with the darkness and say sin is not sin, then you give them the reason to do it. That's what they've done. So you have to stand up. Listen, he said, I know thy works. They did more than one work too. Their works. You know, Jesus saved us to work for him. He said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. But then he says this, but you are rich. One day, you're going to stand before Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to look at y'all like y'all looking at me. One day you're going to stand before Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus is going to look at every work that you did for him. And if you did works for him, the Bible says, if you've done it for him, they'll come forth as gold, silver, and precious stones.
Amen.
Did y'all know that?
Yes.
The Bible tells us to store up treasures in heaven, not on this earth. You know that bank account that so many people love so much? That's not going to follow you to heaven. And gold to God ain't nothing but pavement. I'm going to say that again. Gold to God ain't nothing but pavement. It's flooring. That's all it is. God will put gold down there. And that's what you walk on in heaven. But when you get to heaven, if you've done for Jesus, every work that you've done, you will be blessed for. There's a lot of people say, well, I used to work for God, but people didn't thank me enough for it. So I'm not going to do it no more. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees who used to worry about getting thanked and paid for their work. Jesus said, they have their reward. Listen, my reward's in heaven, and I can't hardly wait to get there to see what's there. You know, that Jesus speaks to these people and says, you're rich. And then he says, look at verse number 9. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. Jesus said, I know that there's some around you, they say they're Jews. They say they're saved, but they're really not. They are of the synagogue or the church of Satan. Do you know that in April 30th, 1966, Anton Zandor LaVey started the Church of Satan in America. It has tax-exempt status in America as a non-profit religious institution. They worship Satan. They do blood sacrifices. They dance around pictures of Satan. But you know, that is not the church that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about those who say they are of Jews. They say that they're saved, but they are of the church of Satan. They're all over. They're all over. These people tried to infiltrate the church at Smyrna, and they brought suffering into the church as well. You know, I heard that Chelsea Clinton, when this new year started, did a Twitter tweet, whatever you call it, but it sent a happy new year to the church of Satan, Anton LaVey's church. But there's Church of Satan all across America. Jesus speaks to that church. He says, I know that you've been infiltrated by this. He said, they say they're Jews, but they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. But then Jesus tells him, he says, listen, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now I want to focus on that for just a moment. Revelation 2:10. Fear none. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Because Jesus looks after his church. He looks after the church at Smyrna. He says, fear, do not fear it. But look how he says this. Of those things which thou shalt suffer. He said, you, church, will suffer in this life. Beloved, if you stand with Jesus, you're going to be hated by the world. And if you stand up for righteousness, there's going to be people who are going to say things about you. But Jesus said, you shall suffer. It's going to come. The darkness don't like the light. It doesn't. It doesn't like to hear that there's only salvation in Christ. The darkness doesn't like to hear there's not salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible, people don't like the Bible. They like the parts of the Bible that they like to hear, but they don't like to hear the parts of the Bible that says, thou shalt not. And there's a lot of that. Listen, it says in verse number 10, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And I want you to notice, he doesn't say all of them shall go into prison, but some shall. The whole church at Smyrna was not going to go into prison, but some would. And he says the one that cast them into that prison is the devil. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. Oh, how could the church at Smyrna go through all of this? They went through all of that because they loved Jesus. They made Jesus first and foremost. And then Jesus tells them, you shall have tribulation. Then he says this, 10 days. That word 10 right there is very interesting because it tells us this, that the tribulation will only last so long and then it's going to stop. God is in control of everything. 10 means that God is still in control. When you look at Genesis chapter 1, the phrase God said occurs 10 times. The Bible tells us that our God is in control. He put 10 plagues on Egypt. He gave us 10 commandments. God is still in control. Amen. And he told him, he said, there's going to be a time of suffering, but it's not going to last forever. You know, I'm glad of that, aren't you?
Amen.
The suffering comes and it goes. As people, we have colds. They come, they pass away. There's always another mountain later on. It comes better. But Jesus tells us this. He says, if you stand for me, you're going to be tried. Church, we need to be praying for when that day comes. Amen. We're going to be tried. There's going to come a day. I told you 5 years ago that they would legalize same-sex marriage. We put things in our bylaws to get prepared for it. I had people stand up against that. They didn't think we needed to put anything in the bylaws. But I tell you, we prepared.
Amen.
But you need to prepare. I think there's going to come a day when they're going to pull away the tax-exempt status from the churches. I got a feeling one of these days they're going to take away and they're going to tax us almost into a burden. The world does not like Christ. And though we're enjoying benefits right now, the freedoms in America, the devil is still at work. Therefore, it is so necessary for us to stand together and in one accord listening to what Jesus tells us. Doing what Jesus tells us. And if we'll keep doing that, Jesus stays with us. He says, you're rich. He says, I'll bless you. I love Psalm 46. 1-3, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He says, rest in this. Our God is in control, and he will take care of us.
Amen.
I heard a story one time back in the days of the Old West. The Indians started uprise, and they were on the warpath. All the settlers went into the fort and got inside of the fort. They called an Indian tracker to come into the fort. He was friendly to them. The commander of the fort, he asked him, he said, how bad is it going to be? That old Indian tracker, he went near the gate and he laid down and he put his ear on the ground. He told him, he said, going to be bad. Lots of rifles. Lots of horses. Lots of people. They're coming now. The commander said, how in the world can you hear all that from the ground? He said, me no hear from the ground, me looking under the gate. Beloved, I'm looking under the gate.
Amen.
And that's the way the world is going to be. And there's nothing we can do about it but stand with Jesus.
Amen.
We've got to stand together with Jesus. We've got to trust Him no matter what. I heard a preacher one time, he told me, he said, I've been terribly tried. He said, I've had a lot of trouble in my life. He said, I had a lot of trouble with my church. And he said, it was just terrible. And one little old lady came to church. She said, I wish you'd come to my house. I've got something I want to show you. This preacher said, well, I went to her house to visit with her. He said, I didn't know what she was going to show me. But she came in and she led him into the front room, gave him a cup of tea, sat him down. And she said, preacher, I want you to look up there. She had a picture of Daniel in the lion's den. She said, what do you see when you look at that picture? He said, well, I see the lions. And I see Daniel. She said, no, look a little bit further. She said, what do you see when you look at that picture? He said, he looked at it very carefully. If you'll look on the front worksheet of your page, you will see what I'm talking about today. Where was Daniel's eyes in the midst of all this trying? He won't watch in the lions. He won't look in at the king. He had his eyes up on God.
Amen.
And he was trusting God no matter what. And beloved, that's where we need to be. Our eyes need to be upward. We need to be looking to our Savior. We need to be trusting Him who loves us. We need to be focused on Him all the time. Listen, Jesus said to this. He said in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Beloved, if you're born twice, you'll only die once.
Yes.
But if you're only born once, you're going to die twice.
Yes.
If you're not born again, there's a second death waiting for you.
Right.
It is a great white throne. And everyone who enters that, their name is not in the book of life. And they're going to go to that lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. But beloved, even if they take your life, there God said, I will give you a crown of life.
Amen.
And in that crown of life, you will live forever with your Jesus. Bible tells us, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's true. But our Jesus was persecuted, and He overcome. And He promised us that we will overcome too. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Keep looking up. Keep looking up. Jerry, lead us in a final hymn, and we'll go home. Yes, sir.
Well, here's leading and singing. I want the whole church to get around here and play for you.
I wish you would. That'd be wonderful. I appreciate it.
Go with me to number 407. 407.